nothing could be more absurd. You know, 15 years ago, long before it became fashionable for international organizations to pop into Uganda for a couple of days and tell them how to run their country, the Ugandans developed what's known as ABC, abstain, be faithful, and if you can't do either, correct and consistent use of condoms. This approach has been remarkably successful by all documentation. Uganda, as a result of this strategy, has had the most significant reduction in HIV infections, perhaps anywhere in the world. All of that existed before the President's emergency plan existed, and certainly before international folks dropping in, telling people how to run their countries, began activity at all. The evidence is clear that ABC works. In concentrated epidemics, where the infection is concentrated among prostitutes, drug users, truckers, condom-only approaches tend to work fairly well because you have a concentrated group of people. In a generalized epidemic, which is what we see in Uganda throughout all of Africa, where the infection is already in the general community, only an ABC approach works. Condoms only is a failed approach.
Well, Doctor, let me ask you a question about what's on the website of the Global AIDS Coordinator. Under Uganda, it was talking about prevention, and it says Uganda is well known for its ABC approach. But also in the next paragraph, it says U.S. programming is increasingly emphasizing both A and B.
Absolutely correct. The failed approach to prevention in the past in Africa has been to adopt the model for concentrated epidemics, which is condoms only. For 10 years, the global community was pushing condom-only approaches in Africa. That's a failed approach. The way to correct that is to increase more AB so that you have a full ABC program, not a C-only program. So you need to bring in the AB because no one's been doing it except in the local programs that have been promoted by local communities, but international organizations and partners haven't been supporting them. So the U.S. government is supporting homegrown African-developed programs that are ABC programs because people have been doing C-only, and C-only doesn't work.
One of the allegations was that you cannot force, say, young people and adolescents to abstain, or, for example, those young people in the military, or often in marriage. And so condoms are needed in those cases. Would you agree?
The way you state it, absolutely not. You can't force people to use a condom either. In a situation of gender vulnerability, the woman has no more option to negotiate a condom than abstinence or being faithful. And that's precisely the point. That's precisely why you educate around A, B, and C, so all three components are options, all three components are things that are in people's thought process as they're weighing their risks. What our approach is that if someone elects to engage in high-risk activity, condoms should be available. And so we do support condom availability, but it ought to be delivered with the full message of ABC so that people have the personal responsibility, the personal choice of what to do.
Another allegation was that the U.S. might have something to do with what they say is a condom shortage in Uganda. Has the U.S. done anything to restrict the availability of condoms in Uganda?
Absolutely not. This is the most absurd piece of it. You know, the difficulty in Uganda is because a large batch of condoms that were ordered in Uganda smelled bad, and people complained about them. They were tested and found to have a lot of holes in them. So they had to pull them from the market, which is good public health strategy. You have a bad commodity on the market, you pull it from the market. Same thing we do in the United States and anywhere else in the world. It is preposterous to say that a policy of ABC led to the production of bad condoms. I mean, it's just nonsense. It's utter nonsense. You know, the United States has supported the purchase of 15 to 20 million condoms that are sitting in a warehouse in Uganda awaiting quality testing so that they can be utilized. Other international partners are stepping up to try to fill the gap, but if there is one, there may be one in the future, we'll all try to fill it. But it's not because of any policy. The only reason for the difficulty right now is bad product.
Let me ask you one question about an allegation regarding faith-based organizations. That most of the money from PEPFAR in Uganda is going to faith-based groups that promote abstinence.
Well, that's actually completely untrue, and all you have to do is look at the facts. about 20% overall of the U.S. government partners for the emergency plan, about 1,200 of them. 80% of them are local partners, by the way, which is exactly what we should have. 20% of them are faith-based partners. We're actually very proud of that and think it should even be higher. And the reason for that is the faith-based community has been fighting this epidemic for a very long time. Without faith-based organizations responding in prevention, care, and treatment, we will not win this epidemic. We don't support groups who go against U.S. government policy, which is ABC, all three of them. The legislation and our policy is very clear on this, and the faith-based organizations we support the overall approach as identified in the legislation and our